Welcome to the 21st Century K podcast. I'm Hannah. I teach kindergarten and I help other teachers bridge the gap between traditional kindergarten and 21st century expectations. In today's episode, we're going to tackle a tough topic, but one that we are all facing now more than ever: how parents can help their children at home with reading. Thanks for joining. I'm not even sure I can put into words how I really feel about what's going on in education today. We are facing a national, actually an international problem with COVID-19, and children are not able to come to their brick and mortar school, and they're at home with their families, working and learning and trying to stay afloat. And meanwhile, we as teachers are a little bit lost. We don't have a job without students. And it's really caused me to think about my true purpose, to think about my role in this situation, and also to be a little humbled and grateful for my school, my coworkers, and my students. Because without them, what's a teacher? Right now, parents are facing challenges they've never had to face before helping their children. But one thing they're working on is something that is a struggle for most parents all the time. I started a series in the last podcast about literacy, having no idea what might come our way in the few weeks between recordings. But this was going to be one of my next topics anyway. Parents have a hard time helping young beginning readers at home. It's like I said to one of my parents the other day on a conference, it's like teaching someone how to walk or breathe. Once you can, you can. You don't forget. And you don't really know how you do it. You just do. And so if you are not in the education field and don't know the inner workings, the underpinnings, all the basic skills that go into the process of reading, you might have a very hard time helping somebody with it. I liken it to the time my husband took me to play golf. I didn't want to go. I had never played before other than miniature golf, and I didn't think I was going to be very good at it. And he didn't really know how to teach me. He would step up to the tee and hit a long drive and it would be wonderful. And he'd say, you just do this. You hold the club like this and you just do this. And he could hit a great shot. Well, I walk up to the first tee and think that I'm going to do exactly what he says, but my heart's not really in it. And yeah, I run the club into the ground and then dig up a big wad of grass and dirt. And immediately I was frustrated over it, not willing to learn, not willing to try, and I sat in the cart the entire rest of the very long 18-hole course. Sometimes that happens with our parents and their kids. They sit down to try to read. Depending on the text, it maybe, probably, is too hard. And they read a page, and it's flawless and perfect. And then when their child tries, they just dig up a big wad of dirt and grass, and then it begins to fall apart. So I've thought a lot about how reading as a family should look. And it's not the same as reading with your teacher or reading in a small group at school. Teachers are specialized and trained in the area of literacy for young children when they teach lower primary grades. And parents, most of the time, are not. So the reading experience is going to be very different. So we're going to go down a quick list of what should and should not happen when parents are reading with children at home. And maybe this will be something you can convey to your students' parents or help you provide a new perspective on the role of reading at home when children are in the process of learning to read. Reading at home between young readers and parents should be positive. It shouldn't be frustrating. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard from parents that they have a hard time making their child sit still, hard time keeping them engaged in the text that they're trying to read, or a hard time helping them without the child reaching the frustration level and in turn the parent too. We can make reading at home positive by showing parents grace. I always tell my parents, if it's too hard or you sense frustration, you can A, stop, or B, just read to them instead. It will never, ever hurt a young reader to listen to someone else read to them. Plus, it's a great bonding moment. I also tell my parents that it doesn't have to be a learning opportunity. They're there to have a positive interaction between their child and the book so that their child feels good about it, feels confident about it, and equates positive feelings to reading at home. Reading at home should be easy. It should not be too hard. And this goes along with positive versus frustrating. Books that children read at home on their own should be at their easy level. If you think about taking a running record for a child or listening to a child read, anything above 95% accuracy with fluency is considered easy. So texts that children read at home should be in their easy range. It should be stories they've read before and they've had practice on in the school setting with support and scaffolding. They should be texts that maybe are even on a little lower level than what they're working on in school so that it's easy and not too hard. You shouldn't send home text within the instructional or the hard range, which is any text level at which a child will read less than 95%. When you send those types of texts home, it's too hard for the child to do on their own, number one, and some teaching needs to take place. So you're asking parents at that point to do the teaching instead of the reinforcing and the practicing and the positive experience. Reading at home should be brief. It should not be labor-intensive and time-consuming. I tell my families of my students, when you're in kindergarten, reading should take roughly 10 to 15 minutes when it comes to the child actually reading. I'm all for parents reading to their kids 20, 30 or more minutes every single night. But when we're talking about the child's turn to read, it shouldn't take very long when they're this young. In first grade, maybe 15 to 20 minutes depending on the text level that they're at. But it shouldn't be so labor intensive that it takes forever. When you start piling on time and you start trying to just fight through text that may be too hard or too frustrating, then it makes the process take longer. And when you make the process take longer, it's less pleasant for everybody. And in the end, everybody's lost the reason why they were doing it to start with. There's no positivity, there's no reward, and probably no comprehension by the time you push all the way through. Reading at home should be consistent. It should not be sporadic. And this is the key. When we're sending home the proper amount of reading work for families of young readers every day or multiple days a week, and they're getting that little bit of consistent practice, it's having a much bigger impact than when it's done sporadically, even for longer periods of time. This is the message I'm telling my families right now. We've sent home work for children to do at home. We're sending all kinds of online resources and links. And we have some parents who are seeing this like a science project. And some children are feeling that way too. This is my packet of 10 pages, and I'm going to finish them all today because I can. I'm going to read all the stories in my bag today. And I'm going to be done. And then I'll get to take the week off. That's not how school works. And that's not how good learning works. Children need a little bit every day in order to move forward. It's just like if you're training for a marathon. You can't run 16 miles one day, no miles for 2 weeks and then think that you're going to get out there and be able to run a half or a full marathon. It's just not going to happen. It's a little bit every day. And so I've been telling families that this time at home, it's more about consistency than it is about completion. And that goes year round when it comes to reading at home. Little bits all the time are far better than not doing it very often and doing it even longer periods of time. Because when you start hitting that lengthy period of time, you reach the frustration level, it becomes too hard, and it's not positive anymore. So reading at home should be positive, should be easy, should be brief, and should be consistent. In a perfect world, that's how reading homework looks for lower primary students who are still in the process of learning to read. But we are not in a perfect world right now. Families are being asked to teach children about how to read while they're in the process of reading, of learning to read. And it's hard. And they're very quickly finding that they're not equipped for this. One parent even said to me, "I don't know how to teach this." And I said, "Nor should you." That's what we're here for. We're here to support that process and to give tips and advice everywhere we can. And above all, if parents can just help children right now maintain where they are, we will pick up the pieces and get right back where we were as soon as we can get back in the classroom. So that message of consistency over completion is so important for families right now. And so important for us to remember as teachers too. A little bit goes a long way when it comes to practicing reading and when it comes to practicing any learning and maintaining levels of learning so that when we can get them back in the prime setting and when we can have our guided reading groups again, we can begin to go back to that instructional or even that challenging level and start pushing kids back forward through the reading process. I give one tip to my parents that I learned in reading recovery that's one of the best things ever. So if you walk away from this podcast today with one thing, remember this. Helping children to read is not just about sounding out words. It's about making meaning from a full text. So when a child comes to a word they don't know in reading recovery, we're trained to say all kinds of different prompts about ciphering out the word. Use the picture, use the letters, show yourself parts of the words you know, what would make sense here. And once they make a good guess or a good attempt at a word within context, we say three things. Does the word look right? Does it look like the word that you just said? Does the word that you said make sense in the story? And does the word that you said sound right in that sentence? If the word looks right, sounds right, and makes sense in the story, it's probably the right word. And if it's the right word, then you're reading. And that's what good readers do to figure out the word. Looks right? Does it look right? Does it sound right? Does it make sense? Then it must be right. There's nothing more positive than affirming the work that a child is doing when they're trying to learn to read and trying to figure out words. And teaching parents to say that and teaching children to ask themselves that as they read is one of the best gifts you can give young readers and families for working through text while they're learning to read. Learning to read is hard. Practicing while you're learning to read outside of the safety net of your classroom is hard. Supporting your child through the process of learning to read is hard. And being the provider of that beginning reading education is so difficult. And I commend every single family who's working through this process right now because they want to do what's right and what's best for their children. It's amazing to see communities, teachers, parents, and families come together to help our young readers right now. And any support and any grace that we can all provide to each other will only make this process go smoother and be more positive for all who are involved. thank you for what you're doing for your families and for your students. It makes all the difference. And when we are back in the classroom and we get back to our small reading groups, we are going to thank those parents for every second that they spent helping their children, because every little bit goes a long way. Thanks for listening.